Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about issues of the day from a biblical perspective, as well as highlights from interviews, conferences, and events. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
Thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. I'm Monty Larrick, and this is David Smith.
Yeah, hello.
The Executive Director of the Illinois Family Institute and Illinois Family Action. Our guest is Patty Bonk. Ms. Bonk is the Republican candidate for state representative in District 30. District includes Oak Forest, Harvey, what else, Patty?
Part of Tinley Park, Dixmoor, Markham, Posen. I think I've hit them all.
Yeah, so on the south side.
Yeah.
South side, south suburbs side of Chicago.
Lifelong Illinois resident?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Family?
I am married. This is my second marriage, though. I have two children from my first marriage, and I have my bonus son from my husband's first marriage. And we have a great little grandson.
Excellent.
There you go. Now, I did a little research on District 30. You're running against Will Davis, a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
Bad Democrat?
Is there a good one right now?
Wonderful question. Yeah, Will Davis has been in there a long time.
20 years.
It's time for him to get challenged.
Yes.
And maybe retired.
Yeah. And the district really has about 109,000 people. That's a lot of people to represent.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. A lot of diversity there, too.
Yes, there is.
Boy, how do you go about messaging to all those different people? What do you think is something that, I'm black, I'm Hispanic, I'm white, I'm poor, I'm rich. What do you think is maybe one issue that resonates with everybody?
Well, the people I've talked to, because we did knock on a lot of doors, just me and my husband, over
Good.
The winter.
So important.
And the big issue is safety. It doesn't matter what city you're in.
Really?
People do not feel safe.
Okay. So it's the crime issue.
It's the crime issue.
And they don't feel safe on the streets, out shopping, what?
A gas station. They don't feel safe letting their children go out and play.
Yeah, so the gang activities, the carjackings, the holdups, the smash and grabs,
yes,
all over the place, aren't they?
We had, not too long ago, we had woke up to gunshots midnight. The gas station that I frequent and my husband frequents, there was a woman that was not only carjacked, she was beaten. She was trying to get away, but he beat her, and then he took her car.
Didn't have to beat her.
No, he didn't.
Yeah.
And Patty, you're a ER nurse. You've been a nurse for 44 years. You've seen those victims come rolling into your ER all the time, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, and it's devastating. Have you seen an uptick in, or you're not in the ER anymore, right?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I left.
So, but, the fact is, the consequences are coming into the ER and people are being patched back together. Like Humpty Dumpty, put back together, if you can save their lives at all.
That's correct. I've seen when I was in the ER, I've seen opposing gangs come in, and it's under lockdown. We had the front doors locked. We had the ambulance entrance locked. We have security, so that we don't have a confrontation in the ER.
Oh, my goodness. Couldn't even imagine. So as you're going door-to-door, people are saying crime's an issue.
Yes.
We're not feeling safe. What are they saying the solution is, and what are you saying is, send me, I'll make a difference?
Well, the one thing that I'm looking at is that supposed Safety Act, the Police Reform Act.
I hate that name. They call it safety. It's not.
It's not.
And it's going to go into effect on January 1st, 2023.
Correct.
And what is it going to do, Patty?
Well, one of the components is the no cash bail, which they call pre-trial release. And I think that I've always raised my children. I was raised that if you do something wrong, there's a consequence to your action. Well, now I don't see that there is a consequence.
Right.
Are they going to return for that trial?
So, in other words, you get put back on the street after you've committed a crime or accused of a crime, arrested for a crime. You're going to face a judge. But in the meantime, they're going to, instead of holding you in prison, they put you back out on the streets.
Right. It's a revolving door. And police barely get that report done, and the criminal is, alleged criminal, is back out on the street.
So if you're elected, would you try to introduce some trailer amendments to the so-called Safety Act?
To repeal some of the worst parts
yes,
of this bill.
Yes, that is probably the worst part of the bill that I would work with my fellow legislators to have it removed. Yeah. There's another component to the bill, and I actually talked to a retired police officer last week about the trespassing. Right now, if you trespass on someone's property, they give you a ticket and send you on your way. And I said I was concerned that, having taken care of quite a few domestic violence patients, that this may lead to, it might be a stalking situation, and you're just...
Peeping Toms?
Peeping Toms. I actually had one of those when from one of my houses that when I lived in Lockport, sorry. Scary situation because yeah. I had small children at the time.
Sure.
But I think that I worry about women. There are men that are also suffering from domestic abuse, that there are stalking situations which could escalate if they're not arrested.
You know, I talked to a police chief recently who said, you know, what this is going to do, let's say you're having a little barbecue in your yard and a homeless person decides to join in. Well, the police couldn't take them out of there. Can you believe that? They get a ticket, but they're not allowed under the so-called Safety Act to remove these mm-hmm. folks who want to intrude on your festivities.
So, Patty, I would agree with your neighbors in saying that, you know, this crime bill, this safety bill, these new reforms that they're supposedly implementing have got to be overturned. And unfortunately, Will Davis had supported all that stuff.
Yes, I know that.
Mm-hmm. And so we need to send somebody there who gets it, who's not disconnected with the public, and who is listening to the people. He's not listening to the people, evidently, is he?
No, he's not. And also, this bill makes our policing less effective, which jeopardizes our safety. And I have told people, as a firefighter and as an ER nurse, I work side by side with a lot of police officers in different municipalities. And when they get that 911 call, I worry, because as a firefighter, we got that 911 call, and you don't know if you're going to come home
right
after that call. It's worse for the police.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, I think we need to rename the so-called Safety Act the Pro-Criminal Act.
Yes.
It is. It's absolutely pro-criminal.
It's a pro-criminal act, or the Handcuff Police Act.
And, okay. You know, and then there's certain communities in our state, you know, let's think about the south side of Chicago, the west side of Chicago, where the crime is rampant. And when you put the bad guys back out on the street, guess what? They go back to their bad ways.
Yes.
And there's more crime, more problems. So
no, they've been reformed in prison.
Oh, no. Yeah, not at all. So, Patty, and you're walking door to door, very important. What was the number two or three issues that came up, too?
The number two is taxes, property taxes. Mm. It's sad when you hear people that have lived here for a good part of their life, they've raised their family, they don't know if they can stay in Illinois.
Right.
And they're leaving their family. We're losing our extended families. So yeah. that's
what's the average property tax in your district? Would you kind of guess?
I think
$5,000-$6,000
is a year? Between 5 and 6 right now. Yeah. I didn't look at the last
right.
one.
And this is not a real high-end district.
No. No, it's not.
So this is, we're paying the government rent to stay on our own property that we've bought in our
right.
own homes. Which is ridiculous, isn't it?
It
you know,
is.
The legislature earlier this year decided to pass a rebate in election year, of course, back to the people. We're going to send you $350 if you paid your real estate taxes this year. Well, Monty, my real estate bill went up by $350 this year.
But look
yeah.
what all more you're getting, right?
Yes, really.
Right?
Nothing.
Yeah. No, we don't see the bang for our buck, basically, off of our property taxes.
And, you know, the bulk of those property taxes that come from the school districts.
Yes.
And we're certainly not getting a bang for our buck there because the proficiency standards in math, science.
English, yep.
Very low.
Very, very
and
low.
And for that kind of money, we ought to be getting better results. What are you going to do about it in the legislature?
Well, I know there are some school districts that actually have one or two schools in one school district. So they should combine those smaller school districts.
That's right.
My children, granted, it wasn't in Cook County. It was in Will County. There were two schools in one district. Mm. So you're paying for administration in two different districts.
Well, that's another whole ball of wax there is, you know, Monty was talking about proficiency, the scores, the graduation rates, but the growth of the administrative bureaucracy within school districts is enormous, and it's outpacing the growth of any attendance, school attendance. So that needs to be cut back, and that money needs to come back to the property owners.
That's right. You know, in my job, we get our raises based on how well we do our job.
Sure.
There are standards we have to meet. And so when you're talking about proficiency, why can't that happen with the school districts?
That's right.
If your students are not at least at their grade level in math, science, reading, then we're not giving you any more money.
Right.
But I really think they need to consolidate some of these school districts.
Amen.
And remember, our tax dollars are paying for what kind of sex ed? Well, it's grooming sex ed.
Yes. Grooming sex ed is right.
It's X-rated sex ed.
Yes.
And that's so, so important. But
is that on voters' minds right now, too?
That is actually my daughter-in-law homeschools our grandson.
Good for
because
her.
Of that issue
Alone.
And others.
Good.
But a lot of people can't afford to do that. They're lucky to do that. And so I have talked to some parents, and it's been disturbing to look at some of the videos or some of the criteria that they want to teach kindergartens
or
second
the curriculum,
grade.
Right?
Yes.
Yes.
The gender-bred man, really.
It's perfectly normal.
Right.
Yeah, it's pornographic. They're cartoons, but they're pornographic cartoons.
Yes.
You know,
so,
I say all this is designed to lower the age of consent in Illinois.
Oh, absolutely. That's what they're looking at.
And a couple years from now, they're going to say, well, look, these kids have been better educated on matters of sex, and they can make these decisions about sex at an earlier age. You watch.
Before we take a break, I wanted to ask you, have you been hearing anything about abortion or the after effects of Roe v. Wade being overturned?
Yes.
What are the responses of the voters in your district?
The voters in my district, that the ones I've been able to talk to about that issue, I've talked to women on both sides of the issue, one that actually had an abortion, and it haunts her all these years later, and one that was too far along, couldn't have an abortion, was young. She gave the child up for adoption, and she is quite happy that she went ahead and did
that. Her conscience is not bothering her.
No, not at all.
Not like the other one.
Right.
Right.
Well,
yeah. So do you think this is in the top three, top four or five issues, abortion? Because J.B. Pritzker is certainly making it a top issue in his run.
It is a hot issue.
Right.
And I've actually talked to the other side of the fence, the Democrats, who happen to be a relative of mine, and was really concerned with the way that the decision of the Supreme Court. And I said, basically, they're just using the 14th Amendment. They're going to push it back to the states.
Yep.
I know I can tell you where I sit on the issue.
Yes, please.
So, and I'll give you a story along with it if I have time.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
So I used to, admittedly, even as a Catholic, I was pro-choice. But I had a situation when I was in the ER where a woman came to the emergency department, a threatened miscarriage. And while I was taking care of her, I was at the bedside. She delivered the baby, stillborn. And I don't remember weeks. It was probably anywhere between 16 and 20 weeks. And I held that baby in my hand. And for me, who's like really chatty, you can ask my husband, I couldn't say a word. I actually had to compose myself because I was going to cry.
Sure.
And I said, I don't know, what do you want to do? And I felt so cold because I put that baby in, the only thing I had was a specimen cup.
Yeah.
So do you want a priest? Do you want your husband to come in? What do you want? And that, from that moment on, I see this fully formed baby. How could you kill that baby?
That's a powerful story.
Yeah, and I listened to so many, part of a vital signs that we do in the ER. If a woman is pregnant, we do check their fetal heart tones. And I've done multiple, and I probably got as excited as the parents when I heard it, and at a time where I spent probably 20 minutes trying to find it, and the baby, unfortunately,
was still.
So,
wow.
So I am
so when
definitely
they use
pro-life.
Terms like choice or reproductive health, you say it's about the baby.
It's about the baby. That's a living human being.
So, Patty, the polling I see in Illinois is 72% of voters say there should be some restriction, especially up to the heartbeat. If you can hear a heartbeat of that baby, a fetal heartbeat, then you shouldn't abort that baby.
No.
Yeah. So, you know, IFI believes conception is when life begins, and there should
right.
be no abortion there either. But we need to start somewhere. Ohio
yes.
is going to be doing the heartbeat bill. I think it went into effect now. And, you know, it's going to save lots of lives.
Yes.
As a result. Yeah. So.
Well, before we take a break,
yeah.
You know, in Illinois, now you're a former emergency room nurse. But in Illinois, these abortion, I don't want to call them clinics, abortion centers, abortion facilities are self-inspected, okay, under the Reproductive Health Act. They're not inspected by the state, local government, anything like that, okay? They're self-inspected. Was your emergency room self-inspected, or did the state come in? And
no, we fell under. We had to, even in the clinic that I now work at, we fall into the Joint Commission comes in and checks, and they check thoroughly. So I don't understand why those clinics aren't inspected by Joint Commission.
Well, because that takes away from Planned Parenthood's profits. That's why those inspections. Okay. They don't like that.
Yeah.
Well, let's take a time out. And we've got some other things to discuss with Patty Bonk, running for state representative in the 30th District. She is a Republican, a pro-life conservative Republican. More of our conversation right after this.
Claiming to know the Bible doesn't make one an expert. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with The Point. Recently, in a speech at a Georgia church, rising progressive star Stacey Abrams, after noting her parents had both been pastors, declared, "I was trained to read and understand the Bible. And I'll tell you this, there's nothing about the decision to eliminate access to abortion that is grounded in anything other than cruelty and meanness." However, the way the Bible speaks of preborn children does eliminate abortion as a moral option. In Psalm 139, the psalmist declares, "For you form my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb." Prophet Jeremiah was told by God, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you." And in one of the most beautiful moments in Holy Scripture, John the Baptist, still in Elizabeth's womb, leapt when in the presence of Jesus, who was still in Mary's womb. Look. The scripture says, test everything, especially those who claim to speak for God. I'm John Stone Street.
It's an evening you don't want to miss. The Illinois Family Institute's Faith, Family, and Freedom Banquet with actors and filmmakers Sam and Kevin Sorbo. Join them Friday night, October 28th at the Carlisle in Lombard. Register at illinoisfamily.org.
People are standing up and saying enough is enough.
I'll just say that people are looking for truth.
The Sorbos are outspoken Christian conservatives in liberal Hollywood. They're known for the Hercules TV series and the documentary film Leaders for Life.
You need bravery.
But I'm still learning. I'm still learning how to be bold, right?
Sure, we all are.
But we all need to learn how to be bold.
Kevin and Sam Sorbo and the IFI Faith, Family, and Freedom Banquet, Friday night, October 28th. Register at IllinoisFamily.org or call 708-781-9328. IllinoisFamily.org.
Hail and well met.
I'm Alyssa.
I'm Eliana.
I'm Kenna.
And I'm Jenna.
We are four females who, by discussing and dismantling subjects prevalent in the Western culture, want to make truth self-evident once again.
We want to make current cultural events and worldview issues relatable to our peers and point all those listening to the gospel and what the Bible says.
We are available on any platform you find a podcast. So please leave us a review, follow us on all the social medias, and
please give us a listen.
Self-evident, dedicated to speaking truths that were once self-evident and doing so in love.
Thanks for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. Monty Lyric here along with David Smith.
Hello.
The Executive Director of the Illinois Family Institute and Illinois Family Action. Our guest today is Patty Bonk. Miss Bonk, running for the legislature, wants to be the state rep of the 30th District.
Southwest Suburbs.
Southwest Suburbs. You were recruited by Illinois Policy Institute.
Yes.
Boy, why'd you say yes?
I was actually at work when Dan Patlack called me, and he called me because he saw my bio through Lincoln Series. It's an organization that helps Republican women that want to run for office. I stood in the lab, actually, spinning somebody's specimen, and I said, if I said no, I would never get asked again. And so I said yes, plus I wanted to because I'm tired of yelling at the TV.
Amen. Amen. And you know what? Will Davis has been there, like you said earlier, 20 years. He needs to be challenged. He needs to defend his voting record.
Yes.
And you're going to hold him accountable, aren't you?
Yes,
I am. And you're going to give the voters an option rather than Will Davis and nobody.
Right.
Now they have a chance. And in a red year that, of course, everybody says it's going to be a red wave,
yeah. You
never know.
You know, one of the issues that I know you're very concerned about, but it's kind of under the radar right now. It's not one of those top-tier issues, is what's happening at DCFS.
Oh, and that should be a big issue.
Should be a big issue. Why should it be a big issue?
Well, if you look at the present director, at my last count, has 12 contempt of court charges because of one of the things, misplacement of children that are in his care.
Wait a minute. What did you say? Misplacement of children?
Yes.
He's losing children at the Department of Children and Family Services.
He's leaving them in situations like a psychiatric facility for an entire year when they should have been placed in a home.
Where is the George Soros prosecutor saying cruel and unusual punishment? I mean, for these innocent kids.
I don't know.
Let them out.
Let them out.
Are you kidding me?
In a protective home, somebody that's going to care about them.
Why hasn't the governor acted on this?
That's a good question.
Darren Bailey needs to make a big deal about. But you have a story and some personal experiences.
You know, every time I see a story on the news about a child that died in either DCFS care or DCFS hasn't done due diligence, it makes me want to cry. Mm-hmm. Back a few months ago, Representative Avery Bourne posted a video of 347 pairs of shoes that were collected in the Capitol Rotunda. Those represented 347 children's lives lost in the care of DCFS since 2019. That struck a chord with me. Because the one I have unfortunately taken care of quite a few children that were abused, but the one that really stands out is a 5-year-old that was brought to the ER. She was beaten so severely by her mother that despite our best efforts, we weren't able to save her.
Wow.
A 5-year-old.
What was wrong with the mother that she went berserk on her own child?
That's a question I never. What's the answer for that? There is no answer. No child.
A psychotic episode, probably induced by drugs or launched, you know.
I can hear the excuses. Yeah. We don't have enough good foster parents. And, you know, what are the excuses for this inaction?
That's one of the things they're saying. We don't have enough foster parents. The other thing is, and we just roll our eyes when we call DCFS and either we're put on hold or they'll call us back later, or maybe we'll call you back tomorrow. And I get it. I know there's some advocates out there that do investigate these cases, but there's also, I read a story where they're supposed to have 6 weeks of training. They let somebody out after 2 weeks of training. Now, how good is that? Some of them give up because they're trying to do their best, and then other advocates aren't doing their best. They don't make the effort of going to the homes on a repeat basis. You know, there's an action care plan, and they're supposed to come back to the house and see if that's been if they've taken the actions that the suggestions that they're supposed to be doing, and they just don't.
Well, what would you say to those who would suggest, well, this is why we have to have legal abortion, because of kids in this type of situation who face abuse, and we could avoid those situations?
That's not a good excuse. And to me, I don't have the statistics, but most of those children that are aborted weren't the children that we take care of in the ER, and the children that are under DCFS care, if you look back at it, those weren't children that they intended to abort.
So, Patty, if the director is under 20-some contempt of court charges, the checks and balancing is not working, is it?
No.
So what can the legislature do to demand that they comply with the state law that the legislature has passed?
Well, I think they should remove him.
Yes. That's a good first step, right?
Yeah, and put someone in place that would be a competent director. Mm-hmm. They also need to hire people and train them advocates. Now, I understand that.
Is he a Pritzker appointee?
Yes.
Yes.
Ah. So he's facing contempt charges. Is he facing jail time?
No. Not that I'm aware of.
Steve Bannon is.
Right, right. No. We've got quite a few. Hey, Dr. Simon Gold is facing 6 months in prison.
No.
Yeah, so it's crazy. It's crazy. Selectively enforcing the law.
Yes.
Ignoring it. Of course, the media, the watchdog, what are they doing about it? It's on page what? Six? Seven?
It's probably 18? Way back in by the ads. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
We're not hearing about it on the
6 o'clock news.
I have never heard about it on the news. I only see it in the papers, and I always focus on something like that because I care so much about children, and I just hate to see so many children's lives lost.
So you're going to be an advocate for those children in DCFS,
yes,
when you go down there.
She's
yes.
going to be an advocate for life.
Oh, that's right.
Right.
And then
right.
How about for parents? I'm going to switch you over to the repeal of Parental Notice of Abortion Act. Now, Davis did not vote to repeal right. this, but you believe it's vitally important that we reinstate the Parental Notice of Abortion Act so that when a 13-year-old girl gets pregnant, she can't be taken by her pimp, her 25-year-old boyfriend, to the abortuary without her parents being at least notified.
Yes. If we have abortion on the books here in Illinois, then I think we need to reinstate the Parental Notification Act. This is where I don't understand, when working in a clinic,
yeah.
parents have to get a written consent sent to the school to give their child Tylenol. But when your teenage daughter is making a life-changing decision,
right.
parents don't need to be notified. And it's not for consent.
And it's
a just
surgical
to notify.
Procedure, right?
It is a surgical procedure.
Oh,
and something she's going to have to live with those consequences. But this, they're taking away the ability to open up a dialogue
mm-hmm.
with the parents.
That's right.
They're taking that away.
Usurping the parents' rights, yes. And that is absolutely despicable.
Well, they want to be the parents. They want to parent
That's
our
right.
children.
That's right.
And the
because
who's
they've
best?
Done so good running the state of Illinois.
Yes.
Now they want to run our families.
And the parents know their children the
absolutely.
Best.
Absolutely. They have
they
a relationship.
Love their children.
Yep. Yep.
They want to see their children do well.
Of course,
the state doesn't care.
Of course,
care.
The Democrats and the proponents of this would say, give you the hard cases. Oh, but, you know, what about little Susie? She was abused. And what about this and this? You know, she can't trust, you know, grandpa or whatever. You know, these are the hard cases. But 99% of the children are growing up with loving parents who are
yes.
not going to do that kind of stuff to
That's
their
correct.
Child.
That's correct. They're using such a small percentage of a possible case.
Hard
but
cases.
Again, it does allow the child, if it is an abuse case, to maybe come to the parents and let them know if it's a family member. I know somebody whose daughter, I worked with somebody whose daughter was abused by a family member, and yeah. she went through a lot for years.
Patty, you're former nurse, former emergency room nurse as well. I'm just wondering what kind of damage could Planned Parenthood make in a high school? With a Planned Parenthood nurse.
Supposedly a health clinic.
On the grounds with their supposed health clinics.
Well, I'm not quite sure what they're doing in the schools, but I just don't think that they should usurp, reflect their beliefs in support of Planned Parenthood to the children in the schools. Let's remember that these kids... their brains are not mature until they're 25 years old.
Well, listen, we've already seen the state legislature allow the pharmaceuticals to be dispensed on college campuses. It's not that big of a stretch to think that in the future they won't extend that to high school campuses, especially if they have a health clinic. They already passed a bill that Will Davis supported, House Bill 135, that allows pharmacists to dispense prescription hormonal contraception. So they're already doing this. So it wouldn't be that big of a stretch to extend it to junior and senior year of high school, or maybe even all 4 years of high school.
Well, I think
Who
even
knows?
Earlier. I think they're going to go into middle school.
Right? Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
But I raised a daughter. And I think we had a very open relationship. And if she had anything, a sensitive issue, I would want her to come to me first to discuss it.
Yep. Amen.
And
Amen.
You're taking that away. Again, you're allowing somebody on the outside to parent your child and make decisions
I totally
for
agree.
Your child.
Yeah. Let me switch topics on you now and ask you, what did you think of Governor Pritzker's continual mandate after mandate after mandate, emergency order after emergency order. It's still going on
yes,
today.
It is.
So what did you think of that, number one? Number two, there's a bill that Will Davis voted for, Senate Bill 1169, 1169, that removes the right of conscience protection for to participate. Let me say it again. Senate Bill 1169 removes rights of conscience protection to refuse participation in medical procedures for COVID-19 pandemic. As a nurse, do you want that conscience protection removed from you?
No. Anything that's done should be based on a doctor-patient relationship.
That's right.
And as a nurse, unfortunately, I had to get the vaccine. Mm-hmm. In order for me to continue
sure.
working.
Sure.
And I decided, well, I'm older, I'm way past childbearing years, so I'll be the guinea pig here
okay.
for the younger people.
Sure.
But any health care decision should be between a doctor and a patient, not the government mandating what kind of care
right.
you can get.
Yeah, so the government should be protecting your rights, not saying... The hospital can stomp all over your rights.
Right.
Which is horrible. Yeah. Last thing I want to ask you about. I don't know if you have another thing, Monty, but one of my biggest complaints, and anybody who listens to the podcast regularly knows, early voting, 6 weeks of it, is absolutely insane. It's ripe for fraud, and election integrity is vitally important, mm-hmm. especially in a state like Illinois. Yes. And so what would you like to see done? Because, you know, your opponent, Will Davis, voted for House Bill 1871, which allows mail sites and curbside voting. Curbside voting.
Don't even have to get out of your car.
No, I think that's wrong. I understand the situation. I have an older mother. She's 85 with health issues. If you want to mail in your vote, Mom, go right ahead.
Right.
But that should be requested by the voter.
Amen.
Not yes. just indiscriminately sent to home. We still get my stepson, we still get his voter card, his ballot at our house. He hasn't lived there for years.
Wow.
So what if we didn't even
Is that
live
Cook
there?
County?
That's Cook County. So if you
Well, it's Cook County.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. So if you want to request a ballot, then you should request it. It should not just be mailed to the home. And I really do believe in voter ID. You
Amen.
Go to vote, you should present an ID.
Right.
So you can verify.
Good luck with that, Anna. Illinois.
Right.
But maybe we could get signature verification. Maybe they could go along with that. What do
right.
you think?
Oh, that would be good.
Very important.
Yeah, yeah.
But this House Bill 1871 also allows election clerks to accept mail-in ballots with no postage marks on them.
See, that's wrong.
So in other words, somebody could come in with a bunch of stuffed envelopes and just drop them off and say, here you go.
That's never happened.
Oh, no. Have you seen 2,000 Mules yet?
Yeah, no, I have not. I'm actually afraid to watch it, yeah. but I guess I should.
You it's, should, because I there's should. Video evidence of it,
yes.
and there's a lot more anecdotal evidence for yeah. it, too.
A friend of mine saw it, yeah, you know, a he-mail, you know, mm-hmm. and he cried afterwards.
Really?
Right?
Well,
yeah.
that will probably
it's
be
so
me.
Sad.
Yeah.
But that's why we need election judges,
yes.
poll watchers. That's how they stopped Virginia. That's how they elected a Republican governor out mm-hmm. there. They had people volunteering to do these mm-hmm. important roles. And so, listeners to this podcast, I beg you, please consider, you know, if you're not going to do it, then you know what? Don't expect anybody else to do it. You need to step up, be an election judge, be a poll watcher, make sure that no shenanigans are going on. Let the election run fairly. We're not putting our finger on the scale. In fact, Scripture says God hates dishonest scales. He hates them. And so when you're stuffing the ballot boxes with fraudulent ballots, you're putting a finger, a foot, and maybe a leg on the scale.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, what's it going to take to get Patty Bonk elected?
Yeah.
to the Illinois legislature to represent the 30th district in the Illinois House.
I need people to get out and vote. You don't have a voice unless you go out and vote.
That's right.
And vote for Pat Bonk in the 30th district. I have a website. It's pattyforstaterep. com.
And the number 4, it's not the F-O-U-R
no,
or
it's
F-O-R.
The number 4.
So Patty, P-A-T-T-Y, and the number 4, state rep.
Yeah.
.com.
And maybe if you don't live in the 30th, but you're concerned that, you know, we have to get more good conservatives elected, maybe you'll lend a helping hand outside your district to Patty as well.
Yeah, if you live in the 30th district, reach out to her. Go visit pattyforstaterep.com. Send her an email and say, hey, Patty, I want to help. How can I help? Can I get a yard sign? Can I pass along some literature to my neighbors? Any of those things help.
Oh, can I send you a couple bucks?
Can I send you go? Exactly.
That would be great. And also, I tell people that if they have any concerns that I haven't addressed,
yeah.
because I want to be their voice in Springfield, that they can send me a message. And I call people back. I spent
Amen.
30 minutes with a lady on the phone one day.
Good.
And I'm not even elected yet.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So.
No, you'll make a good state rep. And we'll pray for you. We'll make sure
you.
That you get some recognition here.
All right, Dave. Well, we need to say goodbye to Patty's. Oh. Thank you so much. And thank you. Thank you for having the courage to step up
and challenge this guy.
You know, you didn't need to take this on,
right?
But you felt you had to, and right. We appreciate your doing that.
Well, amen. And I've often said, you know, if I could run into a burning building like I did for 6 years, I can do this.
And it is a burning building. It
yes.
is a dumpster fire,
yes.
as some people would say,
yes.
yeah. in Springfield. So, yeah. hey, let's send a firefighter, nurse, ER, triage, and triage the problems down
yes.
there.
All right. Well, we need to tell folks that they can go to our website to
yes.
check out information about voter registration.
That's right.
It's right there. A lot of good information. We have a big banquet coming up.
Right. So IllinoisFamily.org. We have our annual banquet on October 28th at the Carlisle in DuPage in Lombard. And we're having Kevin and Sam Sorbo. You may remember them. That they're coming from Hollywood, conservatives from Hollywood. How about that? So they're coming in, and they're going to be speaking for us at our banquet. And you won't want to miss what they have to say.
They're pro education freedom.
Education freedom, pro-life, pro-family.
Pro-faith.
Kevin has over, I don't remember, 3 million followers on Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got some really sassy things to say on Twitter, I'll tell you. We like it. We like it.
Well, if you want to come, you can register at IllinoisFamily.org. You click events, or you can call the IFI office at 708-781-9328.
And remember, if you have moved or if you have someone in your family who's going to turn 18 by the election, which is November 8th, they can register to vote and vote in this election.
Yep. Well, boy,
I think we've covered enough
I think
there
we've
today.
Covered, I think we've solved the problems of the world here, or at least Illinois, or at least the 30th District. I don't know.
Yeah. Send Patty to Springfield.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Listen, thanks, folks, for tuning in. Do tell your family and friends about Illinois Family Spotlight.